I came to the conclusion that after I saw what happened, 10 days ago or so, when the vote for on the Senate for security of the border, a secured vote in the border, which is what our Republican colleagues desired to happen. They pressed that. And they said, we're not going to vote on any aid until we secure our border. I agreed with them. I think President Biden has been wrong on the border. It's his responsibility, no matter what his reasoning was, to maybe help people around the world who've been displaced by the pandemic. But he's come to the table now. He understands the gravity of what we're dealing with and the danger. And he's willing to accept and he helped negotiate a very good bill that secures the border.
What in the ever-loving XYZ is he talking about? This whole I'm not going to tell you what I said off air. What is this all displaced by the pandemic? What in the ever-loving hell are you talking about, Joe Manchin? I mean, look, sometimes this dude, sometimes he does stuff that I don't think is entirely stupid. And then other times he does stuff that I do think is entirely stupid. And I'm trying to figure out what he means and what some of these other cats mean when they say this kind of stuff. Well, you know, displaced by the pandemic. I don't even know what that means. No one was displaced. We were all stuck in our homes. Is he high? Everyone was stuck in their houses, displaced by the pandemic. Is he like talking about cartel stuff? Like, does it even make any sense? It doesn't make any sense at all. So I don't get this. Either shut the damn border or get out of the way. I'm so tired of having the same every damn day. I get behind this microphone and it's the same stuff. It is the same stuff day in and day out. Republicans don't know how to message. Democrats are trying to outmaneuver Republicans. They're all trying to figure out how they can still quietly fund this stuff with Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, you have stuff popping off in sanctuary cities where cops are getting beaten and assaulted regularly. And where's the law and order? You know, the sanctuary cities, the sanctuary, providing sanctuary to these areas. It's just so aggravating. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. And it is this top of this first hour here on Tuesday. And we're gonna get into some of the border stuff. We have some of the latest stuff with Israel as well. We're gonna get into some of the 2024 stuff because I see stuff happening on the right. I see stuff happening on the left. We'll dive into all of it. But and then of course Nikki Haley, I got to tell you what I was hearing all day yesterday. And first, it's good to be with you guys. I have to tell you, it's so hysterical because I kept hearing from everybody. Nikki Haley's going to make an announcement. She's going to make an announcement about South Carolina. She's going to make an announcement about South Carolina. And everyone, I think, just expected her to drop out. I think people were just kind of expecting her to drop out, which she, you know, isn't going to do, I don't think. Because now she's saying that, oh, no, many in the GOP are afraid to, you know, they're afraid to criticize the former president, et cetera, et cetera. And all of this stuff. And I'm looking at this. Why does she have to have a press conference to announce stuff that we all know? You're wasting our time. You're wasting my time. Either stay in the race and campaign or get out. I don't care anymore. I think we're all past the point of caring. We're right, Kane? We're all past the point of caring. Are you super engrossed in Nikki Haley's speech?
No.
Were you waiting all day for this?
No.
Yes, you were. You know you were.
Nope.
Am I being ignorant? No, Dana, you're not. You're not being ignorant. But I had people who were like, oh, I think Nikki Haley's going to, I think she's going to get out of the race. I think she's going to get out. She's not going to get out of the race. This is a vendetta. That's what it is. It's a vendetta. I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Christie's backstage whispering sweet nothings of rage to her. It's a vendetta for her. So she's saying, I'm just trying to figure out what the whole angle is here. I'm already tired of the primary. I'm already tired of it. Aren't you guys? Because we all started so early. And in the meantime, did you guys see the latest video of cops getting beaten in another sanctuary city? Did you guys see it? Yeah, you did. Of course you did. You know, that's what sanctuary is. I watched a video of illegal immigrants who were beating police officers yet again. And I was, you know, I was reliably informed that that was a sanctuary city. So I guess that's what that means, right? I guess that's what, you know, all of that means. Sanctuary city means you just have sanctuary from the law. They attacked New York police officers. And this was New York City Randall's Island. It was a shelter that was for illegal immigrants. So it's a shelter specifically for illegal immigrants. And these cops, I don't know if you've seen this, but they were hit on. I mean, they were just getting attacked by people who came into the country illegally. I was watching this one woman swing her baton like it was choreography. But that's no, and you want to know why we've got such a problem with recruitment. You want to know why we got such a problem with recruitment when it concerns police. The sanctuary city of New York City. I was reading another story, more hospitals under crunch, other sanctuary cities. Making a whole bunch of headlines here about this. This is happening in cities all across the United States. Now these cities get a taste of what Texas has had to deal with this entire time. Now they get a little bit of a taste of it. And they've been diverting the funds, their resources. They say that, well, they have to because, you know, they're just besieged. But y'all didn't care. Y'all didn't send any resources to Texas border towns. Nobody did that. One of the headlines I have concerns rural hospitals. It said all these hospitals serving people are at risk of closing. Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma, they're at the risk of losing these hospitals. Interestingly enough, some of these hospitals are in areas where you've seen an influx in illegal immigration. Other hospitals, we told you last week about Colorado, about Denver's hospitals that are now in the red because of the influx of illegal immigrants coming in. This is you know what I'm talking about. There's resources. I mean, stuff costs. You can't expect doctors to work for free. I'll never forget one of the smartest arguments against illegal immigration. It was in a weird spot. It was on vacation because I like to fish on vacation. We were out, had a boat. We were out somewhere in the Caribbean, and we were Turks and Caicos before they all shut down though because the vaccine and the pandemic. Was out in a boat and. I think that there is this, definitely amongst the left there is, but I think that there is this prevailing viewpoint that, oh, Democrats have worked for a really long time to make different identity factors, things that people cannot control, to patent those. Like if you're black, then you have to support Democrats. If you're Hispanic, you have to support Democrats. If you're a woman, you have to support Democrats. If you're gay, you have to support Democrats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then when those things are incongruent, when those two variables are incongruent with one another, it's, you know, it can be very, very shocking for some people on the left. And I forget, we were out on a boat and we were talking with the, you know, just the casual captain of this boat, right? We'd been out fishing and all this stuff. And this was, I guess, the day after when I was on the beach, just chilling, you know, having some rum punch. And I saw this boat in the horizon kind of going back and forth, and all of these dudes with like full actual auto stepped out, all kitted out in SWAT gear and riot gear. And they stepped out and they waited for this boat. And I asked one of the guys who was armed, I said, you know, because all I think some of the other people on the beach were freaking out. And I asked him, I said, I'm not nervous that you have this. I actually feel a lot better and I'm going to have another rum punch. But I said, I'm just curious as to what y'all are out here for, because we've come here, you know, many years, and, you know, we've gotten to know the area very well, and I've never seen this before. And he said, well, he said, that boat out there, you see it? And I said, yeah. And he goes, that's a boat full of people who are trying to come onto the island illegally from Haiti. And he said, there's about 40 or 50 people on that boat. And I go, wow. And it was shocking because it was a rather small boat. And he said, yeah, we can't have that happen. And then as the boat got closer, they went and they detained every single one of them. Well, apparently it was the talk of the island for the whole week. Oh my gosh, the talk of the island. So we're on this fishing boat and we're talking to the casual captain because he's very chill. We're talking to this guy and he said, did you hear about the boat? I go, the boat from Haiti that was coming here yesterday? And he goes, yeah. And I said, I saw that. And I go, we got some of those that come across the Rio every day. And he goes, oh, I wouldn't stand for that. He goes, are you in Texas, Arizona? And I go, we're in Texas. And he goes, I wouldn't stand for that. And the other guy who was helping him with the stuff on the boat, he's like, yeah, none of us would stand for that. And I go, well, tell me why you feel so completely unashamed to say that. And so many Americans are terrified to say that in the United States. And they said, well, you got to look at your resources. And he gave me the facts that he could rattle off the top of his head. And he said, you know, the population of our island as of last month was, I can't remember what he said, XYZ. And he goes, and that's the population of people who live here year round, day after day. And he said, you know, you got to be very careful with the number of people that come here. We have only so many resources. We have only so much medicine. We have only so many fish right here in the areas where we're able to fish out of. And he says he went on this laundry list and he said, you destabilize that. He goes, you don't just destabilize the ecosystem. He goes, you destabilize our resource system. And it was just and I looked at him, and I said, my gosh, I just want to put you on TV so bad. Mike, because you just explained in the smartest, easiest way that I think even the most remedial progressive would understand. You just explain why a nation has the right to be able to determine who comes and who doesn't and when and where they enter. And they said, we never, and they both agreed. They both could not understand why people in America were so terrified to assert sovereign rights. And they said, you guys are doing this to yourselves. And they had no qualms about saying that at all. I mean, we had the best day. And it makes sense. And they said, they go, a lot of people think that the United States, oh, you can absorb it because you're so much bigger. And he goes, but just as you told me, the boat that we saw on the beach, you get one of those coming, basically the equivalent of that, multiple times coming across the Rio every single day, right? I go, yes. And he goes, that's a greater number. And he goes, at some point, you're going to be at the breaking limit with your resource capability. And I said, that's exactly right. It's the same thing, just difference in numbers. And it just floors me that people in the United States, I don't know what it is, they think that the United States owes it to people. They think other people, let me clarify, in the United States owe it to people, but not them. That's why you saw Martha's Vineyard lose their minds. That's why you see some of these, you know, sanctuary areas kind of lose their minds. They think other people owe it. But it was a very enlightening conversation. And he's since passed, but we've had him take us out on these excursions. And we go fish and we cook stuff on the beach. We just have the best time. But we did that for years. But I thought that was just the best explanation. And they were shocked at whatever is happening in the psyche of Americans that so many are so hesitant to assert that at the border. It's true. We're also going to get into some financial stuff, too, on the way. Capital One has purchased Discover. This is big news. We're going to discuss this. We got a lot of stuff to hit as we work towards the bottom of this hour and headlines on the way. Government's not going to stop printing money anytime soon, if I'm being honest. And I got some weird, weird economic financial headlines coming up. This is why you should turn to Goldco. One of the reasons I like Goldco is because they're just very transparent. They have this education first position. They want to provide you with very, very thorough information, one of a kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. It's going to walk you through the economy and how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And adding gold or silver is a great hedge against inflation, and Goldco can help you. Like I said, their precious metals ownership, very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy, and Goldco will help with their unmatched customer service and zero complaint record. So they're dedicated to transparency, no pressure, and you can ask about their highest buyback guarantee. So the gold IRA field can seem confusing, but not when you work with Goldco. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Inflation's not going anywhere. Major companies are continuing to lay off thousands of workers. Wholesale and retail prices went up in January. You can't believe the government's job numbers. The spin will be out there.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is interesting. Abraham Lincoln pardoned Biden's great-great-grandfather. So they come by their all their stuff, honestly, I guess, you know, all the criminality, honestly. His great-great-granddad got a pardon from Abraham Lincoln in 1864, according to the Washington Post. The name, Moses Johnson Robinette, he was convicted of stabbing a fellow Union Army employee, John J. Alexander, a civilian brigade wagon master. He was confronted because he allegedly made an inappropriate comment about a female cook in the mess shanty. Of course he did. And so they got into a tussle and he stabbed the dude. So there you go, right there. I mean, it runs in the family. Anybody surprised? Nope. Oh, there you go. A man is suing McDonald's over a slice of cheese that he says nearly killed him, but admits that he still eats there. Charles Olson said he placed his usual order with the fast food giant through DoorDash in February 21, included no American cheese on his burger. He bit into the burger. He had an anaphylactic reaction, took himself to the hospital, etc., etc. If you're that, I'm just going to say something unpopular. He's got a severe milk allergy. First off, why didn't you look at your sandwich before you bit into it, you dummy? Number one. Number two, if you could die because you eat cheese, maybe get your happy ass to McDonald's and pick up your burger yourself, because it's not like DoorDash has the best track record. You know what I'm saying? I mean, is this about your life, or are you really willing to risk it for a biscuit of a payout? I'm curious. I can't stand stories like this. Some people are literally walking Darwin experiments for thinning the herd. They really are. And I mean every syllable. A man was mauled to death by a lion named Dana. No, I'm kidding. A man was mauled to death by a lion because he intentionally jumped into the zoo enclosure in India. Okay, well, that's the lion got a snack then. It's not the lion's fault. You entered his house. It was a no-knock raid, man. You entered his house. And then you're going to be shocked that he ate you? If anything happens to that lion, that lion's going to be the new Harambe. That's all I know, man. All I know. And a Hawaiian governor proposes a $25 climate tax on tourists so that he can destroy his state's tourism industry, the number one industry in the state. Yeah, we got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. All right, folks, so new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day alive and thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need. Any trees, any plants, they make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code DANA. Offer is valid for a limited time, so tell them we sent you.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
I wish Michael was here today, and I wish our children, and I could see him tonight, but we can't. He's serving on the other side of the world, where conflict is the norm, where terrorists hide among the innocent, where Iran's terrorist proxies are now attacking American troops. This is Michael's second deployment. It was hard for us to say goodbye to him the first time when he deployed to Afghanistan. It was even harder last summer.
I don't like it when he deployed. I don't like crying. Does that mean to say, I don't care. You know why? Because I just don't care. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the video portion of the simulcast. RBF is in, coming in full mode today, y'all. Can watch the, like I said, the video portion, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, the discussion there, always hot, Facebook, all good stuff. And, that was Nikki Haley just moments ago. I saw people on social media going, oh, why is she fake crying and all this stuff? I am just weirded out by like public crying. Don't think I mean. I grew up in a very dramatic family that will deny it, but y'all know you did it. Very dramatic family. Oh my gosh. And so my number one pet peeve is overdramatic people. It's made it to where I recoil almost violently when I see it. Can't stand drama. I can't stand contrived emotional theater. I'm allergic. And I'm not trying to be ignorant. I don't know. Maybe she didn't get enough sleep. I don't know. But that was Nikki Haley giving her speech. She led everyone to think that she's like dropping out or something before South Carolina. And then she comes out and she's like, ha ha, no. So we get to sly fight over this, for another couple of weeks. But she's crying when she's talking about her husband. And I think even if it's your spouse, and I get it, the whole family serves. But sometimes, and I've had people tell me this, and by the way, the people that I've had tell me this are my friends who are wives of active duty or wives of retired military members. And they're the ones who said this. They're just like, there's a line. You don't want to come off like you're, and they're not mean about it. They're just like, you don't want to come off like you're borrowing your spouse's service. Like, yes, the whole family serves, but let's not pretend it's the same as what your spouse is doing, going literally into combat. It's and as they've told me, and they're like, you just gotta be careful that you don't look like you're borrowing it. And that's just what they've told me. And I thought that was the first time I've really heard it put that way. That makes some really good sense. I understand the perception of it. And I think that especially with family members of those who are in the military, I think that they have a little bit more insight into that. It hits differently for them. But I don't know why she's fake crying. And is it fake crying? It just sounded like to me that you were, it's off character for her. It's off character. You don't got to cry to make yourself look vulnerable or to try to endear yourself to people. You don't have to do that. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It just seemed very theatrical and here's the, we're having this big speech and you thought I was going to drop out and I'm not, etc. I don't know. It was just odd. And then I think, well, if she feels this strongly about it, then why is she one of those Republicans that wants to get us into further conflict, right? So that's the disconnect that I have. And she does. This is honestly my biggest objection with her, is foreign policy. Because she's been on the program before, and I'm not saying it's anything personal. I don't take politics personally, but sadly, there are a lot of people out there in politics that just don't have the personal strength to approach it the same. But I just don't understand, if you're that upset over it, why would then you take the steps to further entangle the U.S. in any kind of escalated tension? That doesn't make sense to me. Why would you push this lie that, oh my gosh, they're going to take, what's going to happen is Russia's going to take over Ukraine. And then from Ukraine, right there, you're bordering against some NATO states. And then they're going to go from there to, well, they're already bordering NATO states. We've talked about this endlessly. And some of those states would actually probably be a little bit easier for them to take over. Look at Latvia and Estonia. I don't know. I just reject all these arguments with this. I don't know. The whole thing hits me weird. But she says she's staying in the race. She's staying in. And she just got a big infusion of cash because she came through and was fundraising in Texas with some establishment folks. She says South Carolina votes on Saturday. She says Sunday, I'll still be running for president. I'm not going to go anywhere. I don't know. I think she goes to Super Tuesday and then that's it. I just can't. That's why I say this is going to be a slap fight for a few more weeks. Or a couple more weeks. I just don't see her. She'll stay in after South Carolina, but I don't see her going past Super Tuesday unless she thinks she's going to push through to the convention and then have a force a vote on the floor, have a split convention. And unless she thinks that's the goal. Lorraine notes, because Lorraine's husband served, and she says, as the wife of a veteran, his service is not mine. I didn't serve my country. I did what I had so he could. It's not the same. Lorraine, as you know, moderates the YouTube discussion, and she is a contributor over at Chapter and Verse. That's the point. That's what I hear so much from, and it's all from families of those who are either active duty or who did serve. And it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. It's a very good point. Now, last night I was on Jesse Waters' program to discuss the question of why is it that the press isn't out and about, out front with the identities and the names of the juveniles who were arrested because of their involvement in the Kansas City parade shooting. Two juveniles, they said. And I've seen all these anti-gun groups go out and say, oh my gosh, we need stronger gun laws. Now, law enforcement specifically used the term juvenile. Juvenile has a legal connotation. It means someone who is a minor, someone who is not 18 years old, someone who is still considered a child. Those people are not eligible legally to purchase and or carry the handguns that were used in the shooting at the Kansas City parade. Furthermore, Kansas City has other restrictions about the carrying of firearms, specifically within its city limits, but I digress. But we didn't know a lot about it, and I was listening to this mayor, Quentin Lucas, who is the mayor of Kansas City, and he was saying that this is, you know, it's the reason he was out there saying that you can't call them thugs because that's racist to call them thugs. He said that was he was going after the governor, Mike Parsons of Missouri. He was going after the governor saying that it was racist to call them thugs. Audio soundbite one. Listen to this. He says it's a racial dog whistle. Oh, boy.
He's going to join us later on in this program. After the shooting, he said we can't let some thugs and criminals just take over and ruin what happened. I gather that's not quite your assessment of what happened that day.
I have respect for the governor. We get along well. I disagree strongly with how he would describe that situation. I certainly do think this was criminal activity. It was lawlessness, and I think that that's troubling. But thugs is a dog whistle in the most classic sense, and I have seen this dog whistle time and again. There's this kind of giant conservative theory on social media now that the reason that mugshots haven't been shown is because the purported defendants are black, and if it were a white defendant, we would have just shown them. That is absolutely preposterous. There are protections to juveniles. Our city has a gun violence problem.
Well, your city actually saw a fall in homicide rate, actually slightly increased homicide rate, but plus 7% compared to St. Louis's reduction by almost 20% because of the different approaches and different enforcement. But that being said, this idea that it's a racial dog whistle is stupid. It's a Hindu word, number one. That's where its roots are. Number two, it's synonymous with criminal. Number three, what are we supposed to call them? Honor students studying for science camp? I mean, what the hell are you talking about here? And number four, he says that their identities haven't been released because of their minors. Tell that, as this is the point I made yesterday on Waters' program, tell that to Kyle Rittenhouse, who was 17 years old, and he was in legal possession of a firearm that he was legally allowed to have, and he defended himself against a kid toucher and against a woman beater, both who had records of conviction. And he defended himself because they were trying to kill him, a child. And people immediately, not only did they release his identity, but the press went out and was lying and saying that he shot black people. When there actually weren't a lot of black people at that riot, which was kind of interesting. If you look at the countless photos that exist still on this thing that we call the internet today, you could also talk about that little kid. Who's that little kid that was at the Chiefs game? They ended up suing, was it Deadspin? Remember the little 9-year-old kid? Half his face was red, half his face was black, and he was dressed up because he loves the Kansas City Chiefs. And what happened? The press named him, went after him, and tried to ruin his life, thus the lawsuit that his family's engaged in right now against Deadspin. So don't sit here and tell me that it's because they're minors. It's because their narrative is incongruent, because the truth is incongruent with the narrative that you try to push out there. That's why. So absolutely, they're completely protecting their identities. This is not even up for discussion. This is just God's honest fact. End. And it's asinine that he sits here and goes, oh, well, you know, he trots out this racial deflection and says we have a gun violence problem. He's hiding behind the racial deflection because Quentin Lewis doesn't want to have to explain why is it that in a city that has been run by Democrats longer than I've literally been on Earth, this city has been run, Kansas City has had Democratic leadership year after year, longer than I've been alive. Why has that not translated into economic prosperity? Why has that not translated into strong families? Why has that not translated into opportunities for the people of Kansas City? Why has that not translated into a great business environment? Why has that not translated into lower crime? Why has that not translated into being able to go to a parade and not worry about two teenagers whipping out illegally possessed, illegally obtained handguns and shooting people? Quentin Lucas cannot answer that question, so he goes and hides behind the race-baiting, race-hustling theater. That's shameful. That's weak. And that's the truth. We have more on the way as we get moving, and our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. Caffeinated as the day is long. And if you want strong, bold coffee that'll kick you in the neck, Black Rifle Coffee is the perfect brew for you. Don't settle for bland or mediocre. We're in the United States, and you deserve high-quality coffee roasted right here in America by vets, delivered right to your door with the Black Rifle Coffee Club. And you can become a member and get 30% off of your first subscription order today using code DANA. All kinds of delicious roasts to pick from, and it's delivered fresh to your door with no shipping fees. You never run out of your favorite brew again, and it's affordable. Pick your coffee, your quantity, how often your delivery schedule, set your schedule, and you're done. You can also get grinders, mugs, kettles, everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today to get 30% off of your first month using code DANA. Save cash on high-quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Because I know history, and Putin will not stop at Ukraine if we don't help them. Putin's getting paranoid, and Trump is saying that he's going to pull out of NATO. These are allies. We were all in this together in World War II, and now he's going to pull out of this. Outrageous.
She knows history, though. Joy Reid, or what's her face? Joy Behar, whatever. One of the joys.
Joyless.
Joy.
Joyless.
From the VO. Wow. Can you imagine? Don't have her help you with your homework. Oh, we were all in this together after World War II. Literally, it came after World War II, and NATO was in direct response to increased Russian aggression. That's what it was. The United States formed a clique with a bunch of other countries. That's how that worked. Good night. I mean, they teach us stuff in high school. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't have any more room in her head for knowledge because she's focused on being so miserable and bitter. I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
I'm just saying. I've done The View a few times, and she's been out every single time I was there, so she's the only one that I actually never met in person. This is back before, when they still had like better actual, more B-list cast members instead of these people whose names I don't even know. But she was never there. That's when they had like Jenny McCarthy on, and Jenny McCarthy was she was very nice, and I always, whenever I see people get mean about her, I always defend her, because I'm like, she's nice, and she didn't have to be. Who is it? Sherry Shepherd, I think, was still. No, I think one time I was there, I think she'd already left. I think it was like right after she left. But I never met Joy. Joy was never there. I never met her. So I don't actually know if she's nice in person or not. But I do know that she does not seem to be very brushed up on history. Right? I think we can all say that with some confidence. How do you just go on TV and just say that stuff? They have a whole team of producers there. You know this, right? Like, none of these chicks ever got, they don't even got to do anything. They literally show up, and what happens is they hand you, when they're sitting in makeup, there's one big giant makeup room. Everybody has their own chair, their own little mirror. Everybody shows up, you go and you sit, and then they hand you, producers hand you your stack of stuff. They don't even ask their own questions. Producers print out the question, and they print it on a sticky, and then they put that on an index card. And so you get questions. And I know that, you know, a lot of production, a lot of shows do that where you have producers hand you stuff. But I mean, you don't even, unless you were like Barbara or Whoopi, you don't get to ask a follow-up. You have to read exactly what's on the cue card. You have to ask that exact question. There's no thought involved in it. You show up and it's basically the producers using you as a vessel to do the show.
So it's like Biden when he gives speeches.
Exactly.
Ask questions.
Exactly. It's just like that. And I've done a lot of commentary, and I've done stuff with HBO, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, Fox, every CNN, everything. That network, or that show in particular, is the only one that was overproduced to that degree. Like, if you didn't know about the, it didn't matter if you didn't know about the topic. It doesn't matter. They'll hand you, they give you a packet on exactly what you're going to be talking about and background information and anything else they think that might come up, and you look at it. You might get a little cue card with some helpful notes on it before you go out, and then you got producers in your ear that'll whisper stuff to you the whole time. So there's no chance of messing up. That sounded like a team effort, what she just said. That's why it's shocking when I see people get, and I know the behind the scenes production, and I see people get things so monstrously wrong. That's wild. And by the way, NATO expanded under the previous administration. We're, like it or not, it expanded. And then Finland, the pathway for Finland to join last April was paved. That was a process that began some years ago. And that was the easternmost expansion of NATO. Because Finland even extends a little bit beyond Estonia, which is north of Latvia, towards Russia. So the northernmost and easternmost. So we got a lot more on the way, including trans issues 2024. Andy McCarthy will join us in our third hour. Lots of stuff still on deck. Stick with us. Wise Food Storage. When emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to worry about ever is having to, you know, figure out where your next meal is coming from. And this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one offer right now. In fact, they have a bunch of exclusive deals right now that you can get. Just visit wisefoodstorage.com, type Dana in the search bar to access all of these deals. For instance, you get a 72-hour food kit, a buy one, get one $100 value for $50, two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, and 11,120 total calories in each kit. All food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water. They also have their heirloom seed vault as well. 39 variety of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open pollinated heirloom varieties, and each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Just type in Dane in the search bar for those exclusive deals like that 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana, and then use Dana in the search bar.
If white people hated cultural appropriation, then they shouldn't have created music. Because every form of music in America was stolen from black people. Rock and roll, jazz, blues, country, pop music. So if you have a problem with cultural appropriation, y'all created classical music. Y'all could have stuck with that.
Yes, you know, because when I think of Slayer, my first thought is, wow, why was that appropriated?
You know what? Honestly, though, there are some metal.
No, I know. And Living Color, hi. That's a whole, or Living Color.
I mean,
that's
that was
whole.
Very orchestral. Orchestral. Is
orchestral.
That a word?
Orchestral. Mm-hmm.
Orchestral. So yeah, there's appropriation everywhere if you dig deep enough.
Well, it's not appropriation, it's appreciation. So right. This broad, who the hell is this chick? I don't even know. I saw the soundbite and I was like, what? If I can spare myself from talking about 2024 a little bit with this stupidity, then I will. First off, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, top of the second hour. And it's good to be with you. You can listen coast to coast, stream the radio show in your neck of the woods. You can also, watch the video component of it. Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. This chick is with, I know she's like apparently, well, I don't know. I read that she's with The Daily Show. I don't watch The Daily Show because it's not funny. And I just find it to be brain dead and boring and yawn. I'm just, ugh. Everybody has an axe to grind, but she's apparently somebody with that. I don't know. And I don't care. Don't fill me in on everything else, 'cause I won't read it and I'll press delete. TL too long. Didn't read anyway. So she was saying that's stupid. Number one, number two, if we really want to do this, do we really want to do this? Do we really want to go this far and because appropriation is appreciation and everybody takes from everybody. I mean, I don't even know why. Why did this conversation with them even come up? Don't answer. It's probably something stupid, right? The left has been trying to work themselves into the belief that people are upset that Beyonce is coming out with a country music album. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's not a new thing. Hi. I love these people that think that history began the day that they exited their mama's womb. But I'm going to tell you something. Y'all need to be Googling yourself some Charlie Pride. Okay. Y'all need to be Googling yourselves a lot of people, if I'm being honest. Good night. I don't get it. It's just mind blowing. So anyway, they were sitting here saying that all this is from it. It's appreciation, not appropriation. And if we're going to go by that line, then I guess don't use the internet if you're not, if don't use the internet and supercomputers and that if you're not gay and British. Don't do it. Just saying. Don't drink pasteurized milk unless you're French. Do we really want to do this? This is so stupid. Stop it. Shut up. Gosh.
It's all an unwinning argument intentionally. That's all it is.
It's not even an argument. It's just some dumb broad sharing a stupid opinion.
That's what I mean. They create the argument that's unwinning. It's not an argument. You're right. But it's only meant to divide. It's only going to get more stupid from here. There is no reason to continue to engage in this at all.
Why does it keep coming up?
Because it's meant to divide. That's their only goal. Division.
Who sits there and thinks of that stuff? Is she mad about Elvis? You realize that there was like a thing kicking off at the time where a lot of people were marrying blues and country and jazz and all this stuff together, right?
How many? I mean,
I'm so tired of this. I hate everything.
We both have been in the world of, you know, just our lives surrounded by musicians. That's just the way it's been. Black and white. There was never been some sort of, you know, line of demarcation marked because of race. That never, ever, ever came up.
If she says, what's her name, broad on Daily Show?
I have no idea.
I don't care. That's what she's called now. If she really believes that all music was stolen from her culture, please, I beg you, take back Green Day.
Yes.
Indulge me for a moment.
You can have Green Day.
One of the worst bands, first off, and everybody who's listened to the show for a little bit of time knows every now and then I go off on this. One of the worst bands I've ever heard. It is literally the attempt to polish a turd and put it out sonically defined, manifest into meat space. It actually is. Their first album, didn't you think they were British? Because they faked a British accent. They tried to act like they were British punk the whole time. And that wasn't totally horrific, but it was just, you know, it had you know, catchy chord progression in the chorus. But it was basic. It was basic. Like punk, like not don't think too hard stuff. It wasn't anything mind-blowing. It wasn't anything enlightening. And since then, pop punk is not punk. They are literally the establishment. And I'm so tired of hearing some 60-year-old dude out there bitching and moaning about the establishment that he's part of while he's horribly playing power chords in a dimly lit subway station. Stop it. Nobody cares. Oh my gosh, it makes me want to cringe. It makes me cringe. It makes my, you're killing punk. Stop it.
If anybody wants to make fake arguments about appropriation, Green Day appropriated punk.
Yeah, they did.
There's a strong argument for that.
They appropriated the British accent with their first album that they released in, what, 95, 96? Yeah, they totally did. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could sit here and do this all dang day. Let's talk about some other people that are horrible. Anyway, my whole point is that appreciation is not appropriation. No one's stealing something and not... I mean, this is, first off, you have to understand artistry, and I guess you don't. This broad does not understand artistry. This female does not understand artistry. That is how art works. It's particularly music. Everybody inspires everybody else, and they go, I'm so tired of the forever victimization. Stop it. I'm just done. Ugh. Now, the couple of other things to hit. Because we were talking about the immigration stuff. We've been talking about, in addition to that, the latest of the Kansas City shooting as well. The shooting that took place in Minnesota. Let me pull this up. I mentioned this. Well, I don't know. I think we ran out of time last night to bring it up on Fox. Because I saw this and the Kansas City thing used kind of interchangeably as a way to argue against firearm ownership. Did you guys hear the update about the two police officers and the paramedic that was killed in Minnesota? They responded to a domestic abuse call over the weekend. And a lot of people were all talking about the guy who, you know, the guy who did it. Oh, where did he? Is this gun violence, et cetera, et cetera. Have you noticed how that story just completely just disappeared into the ether? There's a reason why. So the dude who shot and killed, who shot at these first responders and this cop killer, This dude was a repeat offender, a violent offender. He was also a prohibited possessor. He was a convicted domestic violence abuser. And he had a protective order against him again, which is why police were responding, because he was beating up his baby mamas. He was beating up the women in his life. His ex-girlfriend, with whom he shares children, he used to whoop on her all the time. And he was doing this stuff with these kids in his house. He also made all these stupid videos where he talked about shooting and killing people. I mean, he just ridiculous. This guy didn't have a mental illness. This guy was a jackwagon. That's all there is to it. So he had not one but two protection orders against him. One for domestic abuse, one for domestic assault. He already had domestic assault convictions. He tried to get his gun rights restored, but apparently he was too much of a hot-tempered mess. And the judge said, no, you got a violent record. You're a repeat offender. You go out and you beat women senselessly all the time. You got all these convictions on your record. No, we're not going to restore. We're not. That's what the judge said. And then he shoots at cops, cop killer. This is why this story totally disappeared from the press. You're not hearing about it anymore for a reason. That is exactly why you're not hearing about it at all, because of that. He was prohibited from owning or possessing any type of firearm at all whatsoever. Two police officers and a firefighter, and then this criminal killed himself. Well, at least he did us that service, right? So we didn't have to waste the money of a bullet on him. Sad thing is, his kids were right there. Who knows what all those kids have seen? I watched an interview that local media did with the ex. It felt a little exploitative, which is why I didn't want to play it on air. I watched it, though, and she was just broken up and beside herself. And she looked like a woman who's been through it. And she was saying, I was trying to do everything I could, you know, to protect my kids. And, you know, because I had read he'd beat up on her in front of those kids all the time. And he fought her in court. And apparently him and his friends apparently beat up on her. And she was saying that some of the friends that had punched her in the face and had abused her, that they put on the stand in court to testify against her to try to get custody of her kids. The dad didn't get full custody of them, but she had to share them with him. But he was very, very violent, had all these convictions on his record and not just against her. Apparently, he has assaulted numerous women. And seven kids inside the home, ages 2 to 15. But I was watching this video of her, and she was shaky. She was in tears. And she was just like a deer in headlights, God love her. She didn't know what to do. And you could tell the reporter was being, you know, very kind with her and just into the questioning. It was a very short thing. But it was heartbreaking to see that. It was very heartbreaking. And she was poor. She didn't have any protection. And she didn't have any legal protection. She couldn't afford to fight him in court the way he was going at her. And this guy tried to get he got himself before police responded and could take care of him. This is why this disappeared. The left can't talk about it. God, golly, how much you want to bet he's a Democrat? Never fails. Never, ever fails. Just wild. We have more on the way. We got headlines coming up. And Andy McCarthy is going to be joining us in our third hour to go through some of this legal mumbo jumbo. We got some 2024 stuff as well, because the left has got to maintain outrage, but the right has been started using outrage as a get out the vote mechanism. There's some new surveys out showing, well, we all know from previous surveys that has a short lifespan, outrage. And in order to reignite it, you got to do something more outrageous than before. The right needs to be very careful about using that as a get out the vote mechanism. Also, here's a phrase that we got to talk about: glow stick attack. And yet another assault on police officers. Can you look puzzled? Yeah. Glow stick attack. Uh-huh.
I don't understand.
Yep, we're going to discuss it. We got a lot to hit.
Hi, I'm Adriana, a politics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders recognized an obvious fact of life. Human beings differ in terms of physical attributes and talents. Because of this, some people will be better at some things than they are at others. But they also recognized that the tall and the short among us, the swift and the slow among us, are still human beings if we are recognizable as human beings, and therefore we are equal in terms of the rights that pertain to human beings, rights attached to human nature, rights that come from God. The Declaration of Independence names three of the big ones: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Exercising these rights is necessary if we are to be truly free. In our own time, many influential people believe that only government can decide what our rights should be. This is dangerous. Understanding our rights and how the Constitution protects them is vital to our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Guys, I got bingo. I got bingo already. Here it is. El Chapo's granddaughter, 18, joins the hunt for the Loch Ness Monster while in Scotland.
I
just threw a bunch of stuff on a card and I was like, this is never going to happen. And now I got bingo. What do I win? Nothing. You win nothing. You will own nothing. You'll eat bugs and you win nothing. That's what happens. But for real, her dad is one of his kids, obviously. And she's been in Scotland and she went to a Johnny Walker whiskey tasting. And now she's apparently on a boat trip looking for Loch Ness. Okay. You should probably dump some of them Fast and Furious guns in there, too. I'm just saying. I don't know who said that. That wasn't me. Also, such a weird. Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana, has declared a state of emergency because of a police officer shortage. A severe one. He says it's severe. They have a major shortage of police across the state. He said that it's affecting everything from new employees they can hire, payroll increases, everything. Good job, Lev. Good job. Severe shortages and emergency. Apparently, if people live in this valley and they follow five distinct diet and lifestyle habits, apparently they live for a really long time. And it means you got to go. I'm going to try to say this. It is the Avgark Village. So it's like, is this in Hindu Kush? Located far north of Pakistan? I don't think so. But anyway, they said life expectancy there, for some reason, is like 100 years. And they eat apricot seeds and oil. Tons of oil, tons of apricot seeds. That's like apparently part of their, like every meal they have. And every traditional Hunzai dish includes apricot oil. And locals use hand-run machines. Used to, it was all made by hand. Now they use hand-run machines. And I watched a video about this after I saw this headline, because you put this in here. And I was like, what? That's a real... Now I'm like interested in harvesting kernels from apricots. They said that all of the dried versions of the fruit help with altitude sickness. They have apricot soup. They cook all the food with the oil, even the meat. Even the meat is with apricot oil. That actually sounds very interesting. They also never stop moving, and they drink glacier water. It's called Hunza water. And it's filtered through layers of ice and rock, and apparently it contains, and it's like milky looking. That's what they drink that. And they don't eat processed food. So I need to get some glacier water and apricot seeds. This is what I'm hearing. An Alaska man was cited because he harassed a moose. Well, yeah, don't be a jackwagon. This guy harassed a young moose. He chased it in his four-wheeler. This dude's a jerk. So he got cited. For doing it, scare the poor thing half to death. Leave it alone. By the way, moose are huge, and its parents are probably around there somewhere. Let's see this. An Omaha Zoo found 70 coins inside of this alligator's stomach. You know, they're not wishing wells. Apparently, they will eat them, but they actually had to do routine health checks. They put that gator into surgery, and they found 70 coins in this 36-year-old alligator's stomach. So they successfully retrieved them. Good heavens. All right, coming up, glow stick attack, law and order, immigration, culture, and more. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and they want to save you money. They want to make sure that your hard-earned dollars aren't going towards things that you vote against at the ballot box. And they want to make sure that in this time of inflation, you're able to enjoy dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. That's exactly what they provide, the best service in your area without funding the left. You can get free activation using code Dana. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team to make switching easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm looking for. I'm looking at you. We're looking at you.
Hey. Gets confused. He goes over. Why does his hands are always like up here? Joe Biden, he's going to California. And they're like, are you, and a reporter goes, are you coming up with a plan B for 2024? Does Gavin need to stand by? And Biden goes, are you ready? Well, I'm looking at you. We're looking at you. I think he just almost let something slip about Gavin Newsom being his VP. Did you?
Yeah.
I think that he let that slip. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash. Here with you at the bottom of this first hour. I feel like that's what that sounded like, right? Am I looking too much into this? Everybody keeps going, it's Michelle Obama. No, it's not. Stop it. It's not her.
Yeah, I've even said that before. But I think we've seen so much cognitive issues over the past few months with Biden that it's believable that he's just confused and didn't really hear the question that well and is just doing his Biden thing.
Well, I think that they were asking him about Newsom, and I think he almost said, well, I'm looking for a good VP or something. I think he almost gave it up.
It kind of looks like that, but
that's what I think.
Enough room for doubt.
Oh, I don't think so. I think what you say is enough room for doubt. I say is enough to beg the question because I'm a positive person, Kane.
Potato, tomato.
I'm an optimist on this one thing. Just because I want to see the fight. Yeah. Just because I just want to see the fight. That's all I want. I just want to see it. I'm telling you. I feel like that's the move. They're gonna have Gavin will be the VP, and then they're gonna do a switch Otrado, and then maybe they'll be like, oh, Kamala, you can come back and continue to be VP because you were VP, and no one's gonna object to that. They're gonna be like, okay, all right, whatever.
I mean, he is going to California, so is he going there for the border?
No. Huh. No. He's going to go there to raise money and look at Gavin. Huh. That is a way to shut all those people up, neutralize for him, but then it's also beneficial for Newsom's camp and the people that want Biden out, because then they can easily switch-o-change-o. Yep. I'm calling it now. Because Kamala, where is she? It's like she's going out of her own volition to do these events. Have you seen it? She hasn't been going out to do anything with Joe. They haven't done any kind of, you know, nothing. Isn't it weird? I swear I'm not looking too much into this. It's odd to me, though. I'm going to say that I think is. I think that's the case. I think that's the case of it. Now, he's apparently, oh boy. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of very good video that comes from that. I think if anything, that there is, if they have any kind of joint event, Gavin Newsom's got to look more presidential and basically just stand there and be normal next to Joe Biden, because anybody can look like sentient compared to Joe Biden at that point. Oh my goodness. All right, a couple of other things. Did y'all see this video? Let me pull this up. It's this video of a dude. This is at Kip Academy. It's in Massachusetts. And this is a basketball game. And this dude at Kip Academy was playing basketball with on a girl's team as a girl. The crazy thing is that the team had a forfeit because another girl got very badly injured by a dude who identifies as a chick. It's the Kip Academy girls team. They got a dude. He's legit got facial hair on his face. This is some of the video. Somebody took video of the screen of the video. The Kip officials refused to confirm the player's gender identification. That's what Massachusetts, their local media had said. So it's the Kip Academy, the Collegiate Charter School of Lowell in Massachusetts, forfeited its February 8th game against Kip at halftime. And the coach decided to end his game as his roster was getting depleted 4 days before playoffs at the school. And it shows this dude, he's got a ponytail and facial hair. And he's bigger than all the other chicks. He goes after a ball that's in the hands of an opposing player, rips it out of her hands and takes her to the ground. He's 6 foot plus, facial hair. And he literally wrestled it out of her hands and threw her to the ground. She had trouble getting up. She actually was legitimately injured. And this is good heavens. So the healthy players were afraid of getting injured and not being able to compete in the playoffs. So they were really worried about this. And the school wouldn't actually come out and say that they believe it's the dude who treats the female team like a JV roster, whether or not that was the reason that the other team had forfeited. The other team didn't want its players getting hurt. I mean, I am shocked by this. You see that video, how he wrestled that out of her hands came? I mean, he just knocked her to the ground.
I mean, anybody seeing this, anybody advocating for this is being intellectually disingenuous in their arguments. They're trying to somehow negate the actual safety of these women to usher in some sort of, you know, woke ideology that you're bigoted if you're pointing out factual data in this realm. It's sad, and it's a shame that our media is so garbage that they're continuing to perpetuate
this. I keep watching this over and over again. I mean, this dude, when he grabbed the ball from her and she wouldn't let go, I mean, that was malicious. He was being a bee. He has facial hair. And they can't get Kip to confirm his gender identity. Well, let's see. He's well over 6 foot. He's got facial hair and a penis. I don't know. It's anyone's best guess. I'm just like shocked. Like, I keep watching this. I mean, that's abusive. That wasn't just tense play. That wasn't just grappling over the ball. That was him being a jerk. And him being, I'm a dude and I'm going to use my strength to throw you to the ground. That's exactly what that was. So now you have women, and they didn't want to play. They don't want to play against this team because apparently he's very physical. He's very physical. And I read another article where it said that wasn't the first time something like that's happened. There are women who are getting injured from trans players. I think the last one that was on video, because there was a report that came out. There was one that was on video. It was a volleyball player. She sued because she got spiked in the head by a male player. And it gave her concussion. Knocked her right out on the court. Knocked her right out. She said that she was injured by this trans athlete. It all happened on video. I feel bad for these female athletes. Peyton McNabb, she got spiked in the face by a dude who was treating the women's volleyball team as a JV league. And she still has impaired vision. She's not even able she wasn't able to compete and play her final season. It's affected her. She got hit so hard in the head. There was a field hockey injury. A male athlete on a girls' high school field hockey team. Again, in Massachusetts. This was just last year. It was a game between Swampscott and Dighton. How do you say? Is it Rehoboth? Yeah, in Delaware. Yeah. A player lifted a ball in the air while taking a shot on the goal. The ball hit the player on the opposing team right in the face. The girl screamed out. I mean, it like broke her face. This is just crazy. There's so many stories of this. There was a report that came out, a 28-page report that showed how women and girls are suffering dislocations. They are suffering broken bones because they're having to compete against much bigger, much heavier, much more muscular male athletes cosplaying as women. It was a group called Fair Play for Women. They released a 28-page, well-evidenced report. During a judo tournament, a six-foot-plus man who is super heavy, broke a woman's finger and dislocated the shoulder of another during a judo tournament. In a rugby team, female rugby players were forced to share an open shower with a male teammate who still has all his bits and is attracted to women but just identifies as a woman. One athlete at a school received numerous death threats and had to quit all sports because she raised concerns about competing against men much bigger and stronger than her. Who are cosplaying as women. A 13-year-old girl was removed from her soccer team as goalkeeper, and that position was given to a boy identifying as a girl. A rowing team, one university rower, was forced to share changing rooms with a man who identified as a woman, and another teammate was asked to share overnight accommodation with him. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Cyclists, runners, soccer players, rugby, rowing, volleyball, basketball. It goes on and on and on. This is a legitimate, serious thing. So how many more? I mean, there's all of these. There are all of these teams, all of these athletes coming forward. Boxers, good heavens. Because now, isn't that what the Olympics are looking at? They're ending women's sports. And this isn't about being accepted. This is another reason that I disagree with Nikki Haley on. Because remember back when she was on video saying this stuff, where she had said that, the government shouldn't get involved with the bathroom thing. That's when they were looking at having this bathroom ordinance. And she said that, it should be between, between the parents and their family and their doctor, etc. Talking about, unnecessary medical surgeries for trans. And she says, you don't want to invite big government to get involved in this. Big government's already involved in this. I wrote a whole piece about this over at Substack, chapter and verse. This is what I'm talking about. You have women who are having their health altered permanently, women who are losing opportunities, women who are being removed from sports teams, women who are being physically injured. We're talking broken bones, not hurt feelings here. So this goes beyond big government. They've already made their say in it. This is just shocking. But that video is something else. I don't know. I got to tell y'all, I don't know how, because I'm a loud parent with sports. So when one of my kids ran cross country, I ran cross country and track and went to state and all that stuff when I was in school. And one of my kids ran cross country. This is the type of parent I am. I would go to the hardest parts of the map. And I'd hide in the bushes or the weeds or something whenever I'd see my kid coming around getting slow. That's when I'd pop up. Because, those are the parts, and I know because I used to run this stuff, those are the parts that you relax on a little bit. And then when people are there and they're watching, then you speed up and you get your normal stride back. Oh my gosh, I went everywhere. I got a wagon with big wheels and I'd cart around the other kid. Oh man, it was something. We're loud parents. I don't know how anybody could be watching their kids playing. If that was my daughter that had gotten ripped to the ground like that, I would have beat his ass. Oh my gosh, it would have been on camera. I would have flown down to that court like a spider monkey, and I would have beaten him within an inch of his life. That boy may be 6 feet something plus, but I am meaner. My meanness offsets that. I'd have beat him to death on the court. There's no way that would have happened because what he did was malicious. That is ignorant. Now that girl, she had to literally go to the hospital. It wasn't for show. It wasn't for theater. It wasn't to try to play at victimhood. I mean, did you see how hard her head hit the floor? Good night.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man gave his grandfather a glowing eulogy weeks before he was arrested for his murder. Joshua Naro was charged with second-degree murder in his grandfather James Corey's death weeks after he gave this great eulogy at his funeral, and he was put behind bars because he shot and killed him. They said that the 23-year-old talked about his 71-year-old grandfather to a room of mourners, but then the Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, they had considered him a suspect. They got the evidence, and they arrested him on second-degree murder charges. He was sent to jail without bail, according to the department. They found evidence at the scene to tie him to committing the murder, and a lot of forensics evidence, apparently. He was shot and killed at 5:15 in the morning, and his wife called police. They didn't have witnesses. They didn't have security cameras or anything like that, but they ended up getting... They got phone data from Naro's phone and showed that he had walked from his grandparents' home to his own, like at the exact same time, all of it. But it was a 7-week investigation, and they finally got it. Can you imagine? My gosh, that's just crazy. This was actually kind of funny. This woman, they said, woman driver, there's a joke here. They said a Florida woman fled a traffic stop, and the police said it was like the start of the Daytona 500. Stafford County Sheriff's Office pulled over a Toyota RAV4 after it made an illegal U-turn. The 34-year-old driver, Joanna Contreras of Lauderhill, Florida, after they realized she didn't have a driver's license, the cop went to his vehicle to write his summonses, and she decided, pedal to the floor, acted like it was a Daytona 500, and he initiated pursuit. They did catch her. She was charged with obstruction and eluding arrest, illegal U-turn, driving without a license. And she's got a bond hearing forthcoming. Man alive, you're not going to be able to outrun the Popo. It's not going to happen. Stick with us because Andy McCarthy's coming up in our third hour. We got a lot still on the way. Back in just a moment.
What I came to tell you was, I told you we'd be announcing sanctions on Russia. We'll have a major package announced on Friday. I'll be happy to sit with you all doing that, okay?
New sanctions for, I guess, the death of Alexei Navalny. Is that what he's... So what are those sanctions going to be? And he's so scary. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. Yeah, we're announcing sanctions on Russia. We got a major... He said he's going to be happy to sit with all the press when they do that. Didn't they say that, though, the last time he went out and talked? And then they said, oh, yeah, Biden's going to come out and he's going to take questions. And then that never actually happened. And it was... What? Never happened. At all. What? Didn't happen. Okay. Well. You can listen coast to coast. Find the live stream. Make sure you also find the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Always good things. There's also this, too. I wanted to put this up. The U.S. vetoed an Arab-backed U.N. resolution demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, as apparently we're pushing for a halt in fighting to secure the release of hostages. It was a vote of the 15-member Security Council, 13-1. The UK abstained. It was the third U.S. veto of a Security Council resolution demanding a ceasefire, and that because there's the assault on Rafah. And everyone's like, oh, it's going to be so bad. Hamas probably should have thought about that before they did what they did. The fact that there are people who are more outraged at Israel defending itself over what Hamas did, none of those people should be taken seriously. Every time I hear ceasefire, I feel like adding more fire. In fact, if I was an elected leader, I would say every single time you call for a ceasefire, we're going to make sure we pop off a couple more Hamas fighters. I mean, let's just, because honestly, at this point, do you think any of the hostages are alive? Like, I was reading a piece about, they found a video a proof of life video, but it was not really proof of life. It was just taken a couple of days after. It was the redheaded kids, the little baby who turned 1 year old in captivity, and the toddler and their mother. And she was terrified. She was wrapped in a blanket and she was trying to protect her boys. And Hamas took them into, they kidnapped them, held them as hostages. And there was a video, I guess, the day after, showing them taking her somewhere. And that was the last anybody's ever seen them alive. The husband was taken too, held separately. And at first, Hamas was saying that they're dead. They got killed because of an Israeli strike. And they were killed because of you, if they were. Because that's the thing. IDF doesn't necessarily believe whether or not, you know, they were killed or not. And there's also a lot of, like, apparently a lot of civilians that have been working with Hamas, civilians really, working with Hamas and keeping a lot of the hostages in their homes and all of this stuff. But the media doesn't talk about it because they're very hard pressed to answer why is it that a terrorist government was elected and routinely supported and so popular they were about to take over West Bank too. They just simply don't want to have to answer that. So the White House has also said that if there was a permanent ceasefire, Hamas had control in Gaza and they would simply retake control of Gaza. They have to be completely eradicated. And if any of these other Arab nations aren't helping, they can STFU. They can go right to Hades. Go right to hell. Every single time I hear the word ceasefire, I want to blow up more stuff. That's me. Again, this is why I can't be a leader, because that's the type of leader you'd have. Oh, you called for a ceasefire? Watch this. Beep. Building explodes. Do it again. Everything's rigged. Do it again. Let's see how much we can do. I'm not kidding. I'm tired. This is ridiculous. How long has this been going on? Hamas went in, kidnapped a bunch of people. They started all this. They've had these hostages. They could end this tomorrow. They could end this right now. They could let the hostages go and they could end this. But they don't want to end it because they're a bunch of terrorists. They're a bunch of terrorist dogs. That's what they are. So this UN resolution, the United States should veto it every single time, and Hamas should be entirely annihilated. And that's the other thing. Hamas hasn't provided any proof that any of these hostages are still living, not even the American ones. They haven't provided any proof of life. I don't see proof of life. I'm going to obtain proof of your death. That's how that's going to work. Jiminy. But they said that they don't believe that Hamas should get off scot-free. That's ultimately, you realize that's what the UN and all of these other entities are arguing. They don't think that there should be any consequence for Hamas. There should be no consequences for them. They should be able to do whatever they need to do, whatever justifies their terrorism. That's what they should do. So they have rejected that, thankfully. There's also this from, I think this is, isn't this guy, AudioSoundBite 18, I think he's part of the advisors to the president, right? Admiral Thomas Greenfield, saying that, yeah, you're not going to have a ceasefire. And there's not going to be any peace unless you get the hostages either. Listen to this. This is our U.S., this is our U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Listen.
Demanding an immediate, unconditional ceasefire without an agreement requiring Hamas to release the hostages will not bring about a durable peace. Instead, it could extend the fighting between Hamas and Israel, extend the hostages' time in captivity, an experience described by former hostages as hell.
Yeah. Linda Thomas Greenfield, and she's right. All it does is perpetuate this problem. That's all it does. I mean, it's wild that the United States, who has hostages over there, would be expected to even greenlight something like this from the UN. That's pretty amazing. Now, one of the other big stories, and we're going to talk about this later on this week as well. Capital One has purchased Discover. And this has been, I've been reading a lot of takes on this because it's 35 billion. The piece on this, I saw a piece that was on Wall Street Journal, a $35 billion acquisition, combining the two of the largest credit card companies in the United States. And under the terms, the Discover shareholders are going to get some Capital One shares for each Discover share, et cetera, et cetera. And after the deal closes, Capital One shareholders will hold about roughly 60% of the combined company. Discover shareholders will own the rest. And a lot of people have been a little nervous about this. And some of we're actually going to discuss this when it's Thursday. We're doing a deep dive on this, correct, Kame? That's when we have our really good guest on for this. But you have, so a lot of people are saying that is this like the, I guess, the biggest credit card market share, essentially in the first in terms of that in the country. And there are, I know our friend Carol Roth is one of them, who have been saying that this could push you closer to that digital currency. And there's a lot of warnings about this. I mean, I don't like that there's going to be fewer now. That does kind of worry me, because when you're consolidating everything like this, I do think that that's problematic. But is it really going to push everything towards a more like that digital currency that they banned that in Florida, Ron DeSantis, that digital currency, where essentially you can have just like one financial institution make the decision as to whether or not, oh, you're going to buy a firearm, we're going to shut this purchase down, or, oh, we don't like your business because of your ideals, so we're going to shut this down. I mean, there's a legitimate concern. We've seen this with Operation Choke Point. We've seen stuff like that with this. So I don't know why this is beyond the realm of possibility for people, because we have seen it. But this is are you as unnerved about this as we're told we should be, Kane? The CBDC stuff.
Yeah, the central bank digital currency.
Yeah.
That is always been, ever since I've heard about it, has been something that's on my radar. And we've noticed over the past several months that, you know, credit, people buying on credit increased big time as we went into the holidays. Mm. And then the maximum amount of defaults on those credit lines are happening as well. So what I'm seeing is these banks that are holding these notes that people are defaulting on, they can't, you know what I mean? They can't cover their nut. They have to do something like merge with a Capital One, like a Discover has to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's what I actually see is regular banks getting swallowed up by the central bank. And this is kind of the credit company version of that. But I see that banks will be failing. The government, not bailing them out, even though it will be a bailout, but they'll absorb them into the central bank system. And that will bring us even more and more closer to that CBDC, the central bank digital currency, that we do not want. That's full control of government over your money.
That could happen sooner rather than we think. Robert Salvador is going to join us Thursday about this, because he's saying that, I mean, like, for instance, if you buy too much gas, I mean, you could be deactivated. And I mean, that's the problem of having everything consolidated like this with this merger. And this merger gets us one step closer to this. I mean, if it's already happening in places like China, and for whatever reason, we have the left and some people on the right, honestly, that think that that's like a model to follow. It's just so bizarre to me. It's so bizarre. But they also make it to where this is kind of like the sin tax approach, where you can have the government create unfavorable financial situations to discourage purchasing. So like sin tax is basically like financial programming. And you can essentially, with having everything consolidated and all in one spot, you can do the same thing through this. And I mean, this kind of, it should be banned. They've done that in Florida. We need to do it everywhere. I mean, it is a major, major threat. That's one of the things that we're going to be focusing on as well this week, going in on all of this, because it's, I'm telling you, it's troubling. In the meantime, here's this. Listen to this headline from NBC4 in Washington. Millennials and Gen Zers are pulling in bigger paychecks, but much of their spending power is fueling short-term purchases like groceries and vacations, not savings. Groceries. Hey, Kane.
Yeah.
Is groceries like an indulgence or a necessity?
Sort of a luxury purchase?
No, it's a necessity.
Yeah. I mean, because what happens if you don't get food?
Well, besides starving and dying, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just curious about that. That's how, so they put, they think that vacations and groceries can just be put in the same, oh, this is discretionary spending. We're just going to put this in the same category. Groceries and vacation. Who wrote this? Did a robot write this piece?
It's probably AI.
Oh my gosh. It's NBC4 Washington. Yeah, you know what? Groceries are not a short-term purchase, you morons.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, I did promise you glow stick attack. So a New York cop was left with a bloody head wound after a glow stick attack at a weekend protest. A glow stick attack. It was a Saturday night demonstration. 25 protesters marched, and he got a little bit of a little cut on the top of his head, which required two staples, so it wasn't all that little. But how do you do that with a glow stick? I mean, it's literally a glow stick. I mean, that's, I gotta say, that's kind of a skill. You gotta require staples after, that's crazy. Also, let's see here. We had a story, oh, I don't believe this one. This one's garbage. It says red wine, they now are saying, isn't good for your heart. And experts are trying to trash 30 years of research saying that it's supremely flawed. I don't believe that, though, because there's a lot of antioxidant properties. And my own doctor has said, you know, as long as you're not a wino and you're not like drinking wine, you know, bottles of it every night, you're going to be okay. But, you know, to have like, you know, every now and then a glass of red wine, I mean, my own doctor said that that's fine. And the antioxidants and the anti-inflammatories, actually, it's helpful. But they said that now that researchers are trying to debunk the myth and they're trying to say it's increased to all of these health problems, except the studies have only been in a tiny few group of mice. That's it. I don't know. That all sounds sus to me. You know, it does. A couple found a 200-year-old secret well hidden under their kitchen. Bonus. And it still works. Now, some people might think that that's haunted and creepy. I think it's actually kind of really cool. This is on the Isle of Wight. They couldn't bear cover up the feature and decided to incorporate it into the home. And they said it wasn't what we expected, but they found this huge well right under their kitchen, and it has crystal. It had crystal clear water in it. That's super lucky, dude. That's super lucky. I'm actually really jealous. So they're gonna move to incorporate it. That's neat. Let's see. Relatives decry Undertaker's Valentine's card sent to nursing home residents. That's really bad. Funeral directors are sending Valentine's cards to the elderly people. This was in Britain, in Surrey. Oh boy. They said that they were able to hide it from some of the elderly because a lot of the people are there. They lost their lifelong partners. And oh my gosh, that's like a vulture move. Stop it. That's so mean. Oh my gosh. Five cyclists were attacked by a cougar in King County. And see, even cougars hate cyclists. They don't. Like, now, is it like the animal cougar, or is it like some, you know, 50-year-old who takes Forever 21 literally and hangs out at the bar?
It was the large cat.
The large cat. Still, that doesn't answer my question. Sorry. Is it a species of animal?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fish and Wildlife removed a cougar at the scene and a hound handler. I love this. They said a 60-year-old woman was taken with injuries to her neck and face. We got Andy McCarthy, who is not a cougar. He's going to be joining us coming up next. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I care about entrepreneurship, and I care about democracy and the fairness. The judicial system is now being criticized. People are asking themselves, the Bar of New York, is this judge rational to charge $355 million? In a case where no one lost any money, is that good for the people of New York? Should the people of New York wake up to this and say, what's happening to us? Why is this becoming so perverse? Why are we the focus of this injustice? And I have nothing to do with Trump. I'm not supporting Trump. I'm supporting American entrepreneurship. And New York is slowly becoming the number one loser state in America.
Kevin O'Leary, loser state, harsh words. But you know what? He makes a really great point. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the video component as well on Channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook. Joining us now, my very good, brilliant friend, Andy McCarthy, best-selling author. You should have read his book, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. I feel like we're going to need a part two. And of course, you know, he's former chief assistant U.S. attorney, and you see him on Fox and over at NRO as well. And Andy joins us now via Skype. Andy, always so good to have you. And my first question right off the bat, when I heard the figure for this, which I'm going to ask you how we got to that number, but where normally with, you know, me pretending to be a lawyer, you an actual lawyer, when you have damages like this, you usually the damages go to someone who has been who's lost out financially, someone who was defrauded or affected, et cetera. But that doesn't seem to be, there's no fraud here. So who gets, how does this end up? Who is the victim and who gets the money?
Dana, you don't need a JD for this. You need LSD. That's the only way I could actually figure out where they came up with this number. So you're quite right. They don't have a victim. They do have lots of evidence that he inflated his assets. It's very interesting because, you know, we have 9 million people in New York, and I don't know how many, you know, big stakes businesses and big wigs in the financial world. I'm sure none of them ever inflate their assets. Like, Trump is the first one who ever did that and invented this practice.
Yeah, no one's ever done it in the history of business or anything. It's only Trump. Goodness.
Yeah, it's just... It's unbelievable. But what O'Leary said is exactly right. And I say this, look, I grew up in the Bronx. I worked in the city. I love the city. Talking down New York City is like the last thing on the world that I'd want to do. I stay out of the city now because it's hostile to people who believe what I believe. Ooh. And if I had a business, there's no way on earth I would set up a business. And as he said, it's not to do with Trump. It's that if they do this to him, they can do it to anyone. And Trump may be the like personal embodiment of everything that progressives hate, but he's not the only thing they hate. And they hate a lot of things about business. They hate a lot of causes. And if they would do this to Trump, there's no reason to think they wouldn't do it to say, a firearms manufacturer, right, or the fossil fuel industry, or any other thing that they just, you know, whatever the trendy piety of the left happens to be that week, you got a target on your back. So this is really bad for New York. But at the same time, every time I go on a rant about this, I have to hold myself up because unlike the federal system where the president appoints the prosecutors, in the state system, everybody's elected. The prosecutors are elected. Even the judges are elected. This judge is an elected progressive Democratic judge who run unopposed on a slate. So people are getting what they want in New York. This is what they voted for. And, you know, it's going to bite them. But they chose it.
And this is just one of a number of cases that Trump is embroiled in. And of course, this is this Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Engoron, this judge. And with this, I mean, I think with the interest in that, it pushes it up above the 100 million in interest. So 455 million. And the argument that, you know, any bank or anybody else was defrauded, banks aren't usually silent about that stuff, but nobody ever made a complaint about this at all, which really seems to kind of undermine his ruling here.
Yeah, that's right. They have this monstrous law in New York called Section 6512 of the business law. And what it's really intended for is consumer protection. So it's a method so that if you have a business that's engaged in persistent fraud against consumers under circumstances where, you know, every consumer is paying a few bucks, but nobody has a real interest in, taking on the burden financially of suing to recover, you have this thing where the attorney general's office can jump in that situation. What they've done is they've taken this thing that applies to consumer protection and they've applied it to a situation where everybody involved in these transactions was a sophisticated financial player who was doing his own due diligence. And anybody who thinks like, you know, do you really think like J.P. Morgan Chase or Deutsche Bank took Donald Trump's word for it that, you know, this is what my asset's worth? These guys are in the business mm-hmm. of appraising risk, and that's what they do. They don't want to get, you know, they don't want to get stuck on a loan. Some of these loans are, I saw in Forbes today, I think Trump has like a $425 million loan payment that's due this year in connection with Trump Tower. I mean, we're not talking about like everyday transactions. And the thought that these people would either lend Trump that kind of money or cover his insurance risk without doing their own investigation of whether they wanted to buy onto that risk or not is not.
It is crazy. Talking with our good friend Andy McCarthy, is it the way that I understand it for Trump to appeal the verdict in this, does he have to put up the entire financial penalty here before he can go further?
Plus interest. Oh yeah.
So the whole $455 million, half a billion dollars.
Yeah, so here's where this gets really dicey for him, Dana, because we're not talking just about this monstrous verdict that he just got. But, you know, on January 26th, the federal jury came in the second E. Jean Carroll case with that $83.3 million. Mm-hmm. And that's on top of $6 million from last year. So if you accumulate that, just take the interest out, it's almost half a billion even without interest. And in these jurisdictions, whether it's federal court in New York or New York State court, you have 30 days to appeal. Unlike criminal cases, civil cases, you actually have to put up the money to appeal because the court needs to be satisfied that you're not appealing for purposes of delay and that you will pay what you owe if you lose. So he's got to put up the money. Now, he doesn't have to be liquid. He doesn't have to put up a cash amount.
Right.
But if he's going to get bonds, any bondsman is going to require him to secure the bond with an equal or greater amount of property that he can execute on if Trump were to not pay the bond. I mean, that's the way this works, right? So he's either going to have to put up the full amount in order to appeal in cash, or he's got to put enough that he can get a bond secured by his other property, which is heavily leveraged. And he's got to do it within 30 days, because if you waive your right to appeal, if your 30 days come and go and you don't appeal, then the judgment is final and the plaintiff can start executing on your property, meaning, you know, go to court and try to seize parts of your property if you don't pay the judgment. So, yeah, we haven't even gotten to the criminal cases yet.
Oh, gosh.
And he's got to manage $500 million in judgments that he wants to appeal, but he's going to have to tie up funds to appeal it. He's got these criminal cases coming. He's rounding up legal fees, which a lot is being paid by campaign contributions, but there's a lot of people who want to challenge that practice because these are private lawsuits. They're not really campaign matters. We haven't even gotten to a criminal trial yet, which is supposed to happen next month. And he's in a real crunch because it's not like his business debts that are existing haven't gone away. He's got to pay those too.
This is one of the most insane things I've ever heard, the way this process works with this. We're talking with our friend, former chief assistant U.S. attorney, bestselling author Andy McCarthy, because essentially you have to help the court bankrupt yourself and destroy yourself before you can actually further seek satisfaction and appeal. And I know that some people were asking whether or not the Supreme Court can weigh in. Doesn't he have to appeal before they can even do that too? Doesn't that have to get kicked up to a federal court?
Yeah, that would even have to happen if this was federal. Like ordinarily, even if you were allowed to appeal something from a trial, like this immunity litigation that we just saw in the federal court, mm-hmm. you have to go to the Court of Appeals first before you can go to the Supreme Court, right? In a state case, it's even worse than that for the litigant. because you have to run the full gamut of the state system before you can raise any federal appeal. So he's got to go to the appellate division in New York. And if he gets any satisfaction or if he loses there, it probably won't be a clean result one way or the other. Then it goes to the Court of Appeals. In New York, we have the idiotic nomenclature of the trial court in New York is called the Supreme Court, and the highest court in the state is called the Court of Appeals. You want to know why everything's screwed up? It's screwed up even in nomenclature. It's screwed up from the beginning. But he would have to run that whole thing before he could appeal to the Supreme Court. And, you know, a lot of people say maybe the Eighth Amendment applies here. You know, maybe this, it's not that he didn't do anything wrong, but the punishment is so out of whack with what the wrong was that maybe there's a federal constitutional claim. And maybe there is, but he's going to have to convince a state court of it before he ever gets to the Supreme Court.
Last question for you, our good friend Andy McCarthy on the phone with us. Best-selling author, and you see him on Fox, read his stuff on NRO, read his stuff everywhere. It really does, regardless of what one thinks of Trump, or regardless even of where someone falls on the merits or maybe even lack thereof in some of these cases, this does seem, and this is like a downplaying way of saying it, very punitively prohibitive on they're out to ruin him. They're out to bankrupt him and make it to where he can't defend himself. I mean, I know you and I talked about, you know, the Mar-a-Lago case and some of the documents there, and I think we were in agreement on, you know, some of the legal questions there, but this is just crazy. This is just punitive for the sake of being so.
Yeah, and what I find really disturbing about it most of all, especially because I come from the legal culture mm-hmm. in New York, such as it was at the turn of the century. I'm not saying which century, but it would have been disqualifying for a prosecutor to try to seek office, as Letitia James did as AG and as Alvin Bragg did as Manhattan DA, to say, if you elect me, I'll use the power of my office against, you know, X person, which is a very Soviet sort of thing mm-hmm. to do. And I think 20 years ago, someone who tried to do that would not have any chance of winning office. But now the culture has changed. Progressives are all in favor of using process in a punitive way against the people that they dislike. And when Tish James ran on that platform, she won in a landslide. So this is a cultural thing in New York. It's not just a legal system.
That's a really great point. I mean, and ultimately it means I don't see what pathway to relief he has. I really don't.
No, I don't know. You know, he did get credibly accused of inflating his assets. And the reason I point that out is we don't really know how rich he is. You know, Forbes said he was worth about $2.6 billion, I think, in the most recent appraisal, like 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's flush enough to fund all this. But this is a monumental challenge. And again, we haven't even gotten to the criminal trials yet.
Yeah.
And in the criminal trials, he's got to be in court every single day of these trials.
Golly, this is just getting started. Our friend Andy McCarthy, he has a great piece that's just out. It's over at National Review. The Post-Judgment Financial Peril is real. It just dropped. Andy, always appreciate your brilliant insight. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Dana.
Of course. We'll talk again soon.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We feel like we're doing really, really well. The country is in a very difficult time right now. As you guys have said from a moment ago, the world is in a very difficult crisis, and we have a moment at this time to make a right decision about what the future of the country and the future of the world is going to be about. So to expect everybody to be happy and excited, I think, is just unreasonable. We are in a tough moment, which is why it's really important that Joe Biden remain as president of the United States.
So that's Mitch Landrieu, who's a campaign co-chair for Biden. And he's saying, you know, you just can't expect people to be happy and excited and enthusiastic about Biden. You just can't. You can't expect them to be like that, folks. Just not something you can do. Oh, okay. Really? I love how they try to explain all this away. It's fascinating to me. It's my favorite. Yeah, that's it's because people aren't excited about him. He's a hot mess. A hot mess. I'm taking his previous statement when he departed Marine One and was talking to reporters saying that they're announcing, I guess, a package of sanctions on Russia following the death of Alexei Navalny. And he said he was going to take questions or discuss it with reporters Friday. That's not going to happen because he was supposed to come back the next day. What was that? Karine Jean-Pierre had said that he was going to come back and take questions the next day, and he never...
Yeah, that was last week.
And he never did.
No, he said himself he was going to take questions.
And she did too, and he never did.
And she didn't have anything. That's her thing. I don't have anything for you right now.
So he said he's going to come turn around Friday and talk with reporters. I don't think he's going to do that either. I don't think that that's going to happen either. All right, today in stupidity, what do we got?
It was going to be Joy Behar. We don't really have any time to play her audio, but
that's because I didn't shut up. I'm sorry.
The other stupid was the former Minneapolis City Council candidate Zach Metzger talking about those police officers who were killed. He was saying, "Is it bad that I don't feel bad about that?"
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, so calling that stupid as well.
Yeah, there you go. And folks, that does it for us tonight. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. Lorraine's got a lot of really good stuff explaining all the legalese that Trump's involved in. So especially as the criminal trials get going, you're going to want to have those cliff notes. Find us on YouTube, Facebook. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.